And at those lunches, we hear from those who have finished the program, their alumni, if you will. They finished the program 6 months or a year or 2 years ago. And they tell their stories. And we hear about those who are just now finishing the program. And they all have similar kinds of stories about going to the doctor and finding this terrible news. And then they began to look around and find treatments and options. And they found this Proton Institute and they went there. And now 6 months, 1 year, 2 years later, they're cured, at least as far as they can tell. The evidence is that they are disease-free. And they start talking about this therapist or this doctor or this nurse or someone that helped them there. And they tell how thankful they are for the fact that there's even a Proton Institute at all, that we don't have to go through surgery, that kind of thing. And so all kinds of things like that. And yet, it's not just that. Because a lot of the guys realize that it's more than just what humans can do. And one fellow was telling the story as he was ready to graduate. He said, each time I laid down on that table, I repeated the 23rd Psalm. And he remembered the Lord. And he was willing to tell others. He knew where the real source of healing was. That it wasn't just machines and lots of knowledgeable people. Not to minimize those things. But it was God who was in control. And so it is amazing the stories of thankfulness that we hear when we meet there week by week. But I wonder sometimes, do we have to wait until it's a disease that will kill us and we overcome before we decide to be thankful? You know what I mean? When I lay on that table and I'm being treated, I can hear the machines. I've been there enough now that I know when the beam is about to start. So I know when to hold still. And I hear it start to whirl, and I ask the Lord, because I think about all of the stuff that went into making sure that beam goes right where it's supposed to go and only where it's supposed to go. The machinery is unbelievable. There are diagrams out in the lobby of these huge machines that are there, and all this equipment to guide the beam when it happens, and all of these knowledgeable people. They actually have nuclear scientists on the staff there that check the machine every night to make sure that it's within the right tolerances and is delivering at exactly 62% of the speed of light. You know, it's amazing all the stuff that goes on there. And then when it comes down toward me, they have pieces of brass that are shaped exactly so they're fitted just to me. They made these big chunks of brass that are just for my treatment area. Exactly right for me. And they have people there that I have X's right here on my hip. On both hips. Right there. Well, this one has dinosaurs on it. This one's just plain. They gave me dinosaurs this time. And I'm like, what? You were holding out on me. I didn't get dinosaurs from the beginning? What's the deal here? He says, you're lucky I didn't give you the butterflies. Dinosaurs are good, thank you. So, so you know, they line me up there with laser beams, you know, and then they take X-rays and stuff to make sure it's sub-millimeter accurate. Sub-millimeter. Do you know how long a millimeter is? Reach in your pocket, pull out a dime, turn it on edge. Look at the edge of that dime. That's about 1 millimeter. So slice that dime in half, and that's how accurate they are with that beam. It's amazing. But when I'm laying on that table, and everybody scurries out of the room, Doesn't smell too bad. But they all leave me. It's like, hello, ooh, ooh. What are they afraid of? They're afraid of those beams, you know? They're afraid of that radiation. My glowing personality, I don't know. But they all leave the room, and then it is that I realize it's not about all the machines. It's not about sub-millimeter accuracy. It's about God, who made all the rules of nature that we've just learned to cooperate with just that much. It's all about what He's doing. And so I'm thankful to God as I lay there too, because I know it's what He's doing. It's because of His power that these things are happening. Again, not to minimize what people do, but I know in the final analysis, when it all comes down to it, our thanks goes to God for what He's doing. But why wait? Why wait till I'm laying on this table with a thing that costs over $0.1 billion to create before I decide to be thankful? I want you, while you're sitting there just now, to take a nice deep breath. Was it you that gave you the power to take that breath? Do you breathe because you're so powerful? Because you have that ability in yourself? Is your heart continuing to beat at a nice regular pace because you're paying attention to it? Or do we need to thank God each moment for the blessings that He gives us? Blessings of food every day, blessings of the air that we breathe, blessings of water that the folks in Cameroon don't always have the ability to bless the Lord for. Clean water. We need to connect this with our daily lives, this whole thankfulness thing. Let's connect it to our daily lives. Every day we live is a miracle from God. Turn with me to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, beginning with verse 11, is a familiar story to you, I know. It's one you often hear at this time of year. Luke chapter 11, beginning with Luke chapter 17, beginning with verse 11. Luke 17, verse 11. And it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him what? 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. I've seen leprosy in action when I was in Korea. Did you know you have little tiny muscles right under your eye? Right under your eye, you have little tiny muscles right there. Little tiny ones. And do you know what the job of those muscles are? They hold your eyelid up against your eye. I never knew that until I went to Korea. And I was there and I saw these fellows who had leprosy attack that muscle. It's often one that's easily attacked by leprosy. And what ends up happening is their eyelids droop like that. And you think, okay, so... Well, what happens then is too much of their eyeball is exposed to the air and it dries out and they go blind. Yeah. If they don't keep it hydrated well. I can imagine what these guys were facing, these 10 lepers. Because that would go pretty quick, because those are real small, little, gentle muscles there. And that was only one of the first steps after all the toes and fingers are messed up. And these guys did not have a good life to look forward to. And so they met Jesus. And Jesus curiously says only, go, in verse 14, show yourselves to the priests. That's all he says. Go, show yourselves to the priests. And I'm sure that they were thinking to themselves, why go show ourselves to the priests before we're healed? But God doesn't ask us to obey after we have the evidence. He asks us to obey, and then he gives the evidence. See? And so it was, verse 14, that as they went, they were cleansed. Sometimes we think we have to wait for God's blessings before we thank him for them and act on them. But God is telling us sometimes to do things, to thank him for things that we haven't even received yet. And he says, go. And so then, verse 15, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God. Only one of these 10 guys appeared thankful. Now, I'm guessing the other 9 were pretty happy about this, wouldn't you say? I'd say they were real happy about this, ecstatic, euphoric about this. Lost in the healing was their thankfulness. Lost in that euphoria was the remembering of who had done it. And so they probably, had they stopped for a moment, they would have said, oh, thankful, man, you know it. I'm totally thankful. But they didn't let that break in to where they were going on their own. They didn't let thankfulness to God break in on their human routine. That's a problem for us, if you know what I mean. And so praise God for the Thanksgiving time when we should be thinking more about thanking God than turkeys. Know what I mean? And so these 9 guys probably would have come back, but they wouldn't let that break in. Interestingly, this man, this 10th man, had also headed off. He had gone on his way to see the priest. But what happened? He returned, verse 15 says. In other words, Jesus had given him a command to go and do this, but he wanted to come back out of his way, back to Jesus, and return thanks. How about you and I? Are we willing to go out of our way to return thanks? That's an interesting question. Are we willing to show thankfulness by going out of our way? You know, these folks that are going to be treating me tomorrow morning, they have regular Sunday weekend lives. They're going to be coming in on Sunday when normally they wouldn't do that. Could I go out of my way somehow to say thank you? Why not, right? They're going out of their way for me, for sure. And so, going out of our way. This week, I had a curious thing happen. I called up my landlord, and I said, I got a real problem. I said, you know, the drain in my shower isn't draining very well, and so I'm ending up finishing my shower standing in this water, you know? It's kind of nasty. So I said, can we get somebody to fix this? She said, yeah, I'll send someone up tomorrow. So the next day, I'm in my apartment and the knock on the door, you know. And so when I go and open the door, I throw open the door. It's not a plumber. I was shocked. That guy right there was standing at my door. James Abram was at my door, and Julius Taylor was at my door, and Robert Wilson was at my door. Can you believe it? Now, you have to understand this. Talk about going out of your way. They drove 3 hours up to Jacksonville. And it wasn't like, well, I got to go to Jacksonville to pick up this part for my car. So, oh, by the way, let's go see the pastor while we're there. No, they came there for me. For me. They had no reason to do that. Huh? They loved me. Exactly. Thank you. That's exactly it. It's like you should be over here. I'll sit there. You come over here because that's exactly right. That was the only reason, precisely where I was going. The only reason they did that was because they love more than just what people normally do. You see, that doesn't come from the earthly. That comes from somewhere else, doesn't it? That kind of thing happens from somewhere else. It reminds me very seriously of John 13:35. John 13, verse 35. John 13, verse 35. Are you with me? John 13:35 says, "By this all will know that ye are my disciples." See, I'm reading New King James, but I'm remembering King James here. "By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." If you have love one for another. 3 hours one way in the same car with James Abram. Can you imagine? Love one for another. That is John 13:35 in action. Right there. In action. Do you know how many people in this church do all kinds of stuff for this place? For us as the people of God? Do you know how many people in this church do stuff for us? Do you think the lights are on by themselves? Do the youth have programs just because the program suddenly and magically appears? Do you think the banquet tonight is fixing itself over there? Is that what's happening? Do the offerings collect themselves? You guys are right. They don't. All kinds of stuff. The bathrooms don't clean themselves. I'm not sure why yet with all our technology, but these things are all done by loving, caring people in this church. People who want to bless you. People who have given themselves for you. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. All kinds of things happen like that. People giving of themselves, elders, deacons, deaconesses, adventure leaders, pathfinders, you name it, all of these things, community service people, prison ministries. How many times have you been visited? I hope you've been visited by phone or by email or a knock on your door somewhere along the line in the last couple of years. I hope somebody is in touch with you from this church somehow. Somebody calling up and just saying, "Hey, how are you doing?" And if that's not so, have you called someone else to make their day and make it happen for them? We can be the answer to someone else's needs. we can be there for them. How many times have people in our church just had someone else take care of a financial need? I bet it happens a whole lot more than you know, because it's quiet. It's not even done through the church. There are people who give Bible studies without me even knowing about it. How awful. How awfully nice. Right? Isn't it awesome? People doing stuff. Shut-ins who get visited. How come? Because the pastor sent them? No, because the Holy Spirit sent them. People are doing good things all the time in this church, and you are blessed quite often without even knowing that it happens. Wow. John 13:35 in action. You all got your bulletin today with a little envelope and a little card, right? Little envelope and a little card. I want you to take that out for a moment. You'll notice it's quite blank, except for the really hard to read thank you on the front. So if you can't read it, just look for the little shiny part on the, that'll be the front. Because I can't read it either. Not unless I really get it at exactly the right place. There's a thank you card there for you to use. A thank you card to the unsung person in this church. I want you to think of someone who has blessed you somehow in this church. Maybe all they did was say, "How are you doing?" when you came in the church today. Maybe that's it. Maybe that's all they did. Or perhaps it was something else. Somebody else did something for you in this church. I want you to write at the top of that card, "Dear whoever it is, I wanted to take this opportunity to thank you," and tell them what for. Tell them how God has used them to bless you. How God has taken this opportunity. How you've taken this opportunity to thank them. Go ahead and fill it out. I'll bet you're multitasking talented enough to go ahead and be filling that out. Someone in this church that you want to thank, someone that you want to go out of your way to thank, to return as the one thankful leper did, to return, to go out of your way to thank this person. Tell them why you're thankful. Now, before you stick it in that envelope, before you sign it, there's a little more. If you thought that's all it was, you don't know me very well yet, right? There's more to the story, right? There's one more thing. You see, that leper went out of his way. Jesus said, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for the other." We in our society very often get this word love quite confused with feeling. But love, as I view it, as I think the scripture views it, it is an action word, isn't it? It is a doing word. That's what the leper did. He did something to show the Lord that he loved. Jesus in John 13:35 was talking about doing something to show that he loved. I want you on your card to think of something that you can do for this person. Now, maybe it'll be, let's get together sometime. I'll take you out to lunch. Or maybe it's, can I help? I noticed that maybe you need some help with something. Maybe I can help you. If you need another one of the cards, I have a couple more in the back there. If anybody needs a card, raise your hand. We'll get cards to you. Maybe there's something else that you've noticed that you can help them with. Or maybe it's that, why don't you and I get together, is what you'll put on your card. Why don't you and I get together and we can help someone else? And we'll do this at the church, or we'll help so-and-so who's shut in. How many of us have visited Mrs. Yankee? How many of you know Mrs. Yankee? We need to be visiting. We need to be seeing people. We need to be calling people. Why don't we get together and go visit someone? You know what I mean? Think of something. You see, this is the investment part. This is the going out of your way part. Oh, but Pastor, that's too much work to think of something to do. Really? Then how thankful are we? Words are cheap in our society. Let's put it in action. Let's not just call up and say, oh, Pastor, I wish I could come up and visit you in Jacksonville. Man, there was a knock on my door. They put wheels to their action. That's what I'm asking for. I'm asking you to put wheels to it. To bless someone. I get pretty pointed in the last part of a sermon, don't I? Because the Lord has been so good to us. How can we not be thankful? Other people are blessing us constantly, and we need to be thankful. Do you remember something that Paul wrote? Let's see, that in the last days there would be those who would be unthankful, unholy. Remember that? Unthankfulness is very characteristic of our society, isn't it? And I'm ready to break that chain. Because I think in heaven, if heaven is anything like what you're thinking about, I'll bet everyone there is going to be so nice. Do you think anybody's going to pass the salt in heaven and not have the receiver say thank you? Huh? As though they deserve to have the salt passed to them without the courtesy? Are we lacking in courtesy in our world today? Whew. And so I ask you now to do something tangible, to show thankfulness with a little card and a little action. That's simple. Because as I read John 13:35, by this, all men, how many men? All men. You see, this does not just happen within our own family of God right here. You see, as we do this thankfulness, other people take notice, you know? Other people hear about it. Other people see it. Other people know what's going on. And it goes outside. It spills over. It goes into our daily lives elsewhere. It affects other lives. And people begin to see that we are his disciples. And when they see that happening in your life, then they say, I want a little of that. I want that in my life. I want to be a follower of Jesus too. Isn't it beautiful how God works? We're blessed. We bless others. Others see it. They want to be blessed. They want to bless others. And it just grows and grows. And pretty soon, Lakeland is on fire for God. This is one of the first steps that within ourselves we fulfill John 13:35. And so thank you for taking just a moment to fill out that little card. And if the person is here today, feel free to give them the card today, right now. Well, okay, not right now. You can wait until we're done. But today, don't let it wait, okay? And if they're not here right now, feel free. And I'm sorry I didn't provide you with a stamp. But hey, 44 cents, put it on there. Send it in the mail, okay? Or go to their house and hand it to them. Ooh, go out of your way, huh? John 13:35, by this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. What a beautiful blessing.